Hello, and welcome to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. Thanks so much for being with us. This week, Frankfurt Mayor Judy Sheets is our guest. If you have questions for Mayor Sheets, you can still email those in to ask@wbaa.org. And we have the mayor on the line. Good afternoon, Mayor Sheets.
Hi, Emily. How are you today?
I'm doing well. And how are you?
Good. I'm great.
So how did Frankfurt and Clinton County fare this week? And really even today with the winter storm we've been having?
Well, I think we've done really well with our snow removal. I think it was kind of a shock to all of us. We haven't had this much snow for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think someone told me it had been like 2014, 2015, the last time they had seen this much snow. But our street department crews have been out working really hard. They worked in shifts to make sure that they were able, you know, to keep the streets plowed and cleaned off. And it's been a busy time.
Well, so how do the city and the county kind of work together in these situations to get the roads cleared and then kind of be communicating with residents when the weather is this bad and this kind of widespread?
Well, in the city, we, of course, take care of our city streets, and we also take care of the downtown area, which, you know, that's an important thing to do with our businesses down there. We also appreciate what the county does out in the county so that people can get into the city. We don't go out into the county, you know, to plow the snow or anything like that. But there are roads that I'm sure that they've helped us out on as well as we get on the edges of town. They've been very good to help us.
Now, we kind of knew what was coming earlier in the week. I know here in Greater Lafayette, kind of a little bit of unexpected extra amount of snow this morning that we were dealing with. You know, was that the case also down in Frankfurt and in Clinton County?
Yes. Yes, we got more snow than we expected last night. So
then what did you do this morning as you were kind of weighing what to do with the roads? How did you handle that?
Yes. So the street department was back out. They were hitting it again and getting the streets cleaned off again. And they've done a great job. They had a plan in place. Jason Forsythe's our street superintendent, and he had it all planned. You know, he knew what he was going to do when the storm hit. He's had them in shifts and, you know, different areas and who was going to take care of what. And he's done a great job in all of that.
And how do you keep an eye on, you know, how much salt you have left in the supplies, you know, things like that as you're looking ahead to the rest of the winter, as we can probably assume there's going to be a little bit of this left to come?
Right. Jason's very good about that. He knows, you know, approximately what he's thinking that we're going to need, and he keeps a close eye on that, and he would let me know if anything was needed. But so far, we're doing really well, and we think we're going to be okay for the rest of the winter.
So I did want to ask really quickly, because it's just, I've seen people talking about it, not just in Frankfurt, but frustrations about, you know, you have a driveway, you have parking that gets blocked by a pile of snow that gets thrown by a plow that's, you know, trying to clear a street, but then kind of creates a secondary issue for people. Is there anything that can be reasonably done in those situations, or is that just kind of the way that it is?
You know, that's a tough situation, you know, because when the piles go down, they're going to throw that snow, and it's maybe going to be in front of somebody's driveway or their walkway or whatever. There's not really a lot that you can do to prevent that, because the plows are so big, you know, they're just not able to take the time to go to everyone and get that out of each driveway and each walkway. But it's a tough thing.
So I wanted to ask also this week, I saw that former Frankfurt Mayor Jim Brown passed away this month at the age of 94. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Okay, I didn't know him really well. I was younger when he was mayor, but I had always heard such great things about him, how caring he was for the community and how much he loved his community. And, you know, no matter whether the mayor today or the mayor several years ago, there's a lot of responsibility, and you have to love this community and want to serve it and able to do that. And I always heard great things about him.
So I have here, I see that he was mayor from 1968 to 1972. So Mayor Sheets, how do you think it's different to be a mayor right now as opposed to then?
Well, I think we have a lot more going on right now. I think the financial situation's also different. And the way that we get our finances, you know, the funding for different projects, that type thing, that's changed over the years. And I don't think they had a pandemic back then either.
I don't think so. Yes. That's something new that you're specifically dealing with. Yes.
That's right. That's right. But they still had their situations. You know, I'm not downplaying that at all, because no matter when you were mayor, there were things that you had to take care of. I mean, there were just a lot of things going on, projects, maybe different types of projects or situations, but it's a tough job.
So COVID numbers are improving in Clinton County as they are across the state. I saw you've had days in February with where the state health department has only reported, one confirmed case of COVID in the county. I believe I just checked and saw that you had three today. You know, how does that change impact Frankfort? I know on the map you're blue right now, but technically you're still yellow, but you're headed in the right direction. So what does that do for the
Absolutely.
community?
I'm excited about it. I think a lot of it is people are still being cautious, still, asking what we've asked them to do, to wear their mask, to social distance, those type things. I think, too, as the vaccine is distributed and people start taking the vaccination, I think we're going to see even better numbers than that. But I've been really excited about that.
So I checked Clinton County's vaccination numbers this morning because the state has a dashboard, and you can check by how many people have been fully vaccinated and then how many people have received that first dose. It looks like IDOH was reporting, as of this morning, around 1,400 people have been fully vaccinated in Clinton County. And I know the storm that we were just talking about did prompt some rescheduling of vaccinations this week, and I think even impacted the delivery of supply. You still only have one vaccination site in the county. So have you heard about plans for any other sites to be added, at least down the line?
Yeah, not at this time. I think they're just going to see where the need's going to be, on how much that increases. Like you said, with the snow, they had to cancel the vaccination clinic. Myself, I was also scheduled for Tuesday, but now I've had to reschedule mine. So I'm sure
Okay.
that's had an impact on it. So,
So you were scheduled for Tuesday.
yes.
So when are you getting your vaccination? Were you able to get yourself back on the calendar?
It's going to be March 2nd.
It's going to be March 2nd. Okay. How are you
Yes,
feeling about
yes.
that?
I'm excited to get it done. I actually had an appointment this morning with my physician and talked to him about it, along with other things, and he was just a big encouragement for that. He made me feel really comfortable with getting that and how he felt it was really important.
I know that we've talked before on the show about, and I've talked with other mayors as well, about people being concerned about getting the vaccination, and you had kind of assumed that that would be the case for some people. Are you continuing to have that conversation where you're hearing concerns, or do you feel like people in your area are getting more comfortable with it and perhaps more willing to go ahead and get the shot?
I'm not going to say there isn't concern, because I think there is. I think there are some people that are concerned about that, but I think overall we're seeing people on board with that, knowing the importance of it, and it's something that they need to do. If that's what they feel right about, then they need to get that done. But I think it's got to be a personal choice. They've got to feel comfortable with it as well.
I know that in West Lafayette, for example, a resolution came up about, kind of urging, city officials to get themselves vaccinated when they're eligible, when it becomes available for them. I guess, how do you feel about, recommending, urging, strongly suggesting to your city employees and to other city officials that they go ahead and kind of follow your example here?
Really, at this time, we've left it up to the employees. We haven't really, we haven't entertained even a resolution or anything like that for our employees. But I think as public safety employees are aware of, they're getting, particularly our police and fire, we're interested in getting the vaccination. And I think some of our street department employees. So without us even encouraging them or even trying to say, this is something that we're going to ask you to do, they're doing it on their own.
Okay. And I know that they were kind of in that kind of they've kind of been in these first waves of people who are eligible actually to get the vaccination. Do you know, and maybe we've talked about this before, how many people Can your clinic go through in a day, or in a week, if you have any sense of those numbers, just what they're able to handle at this point?
You know, I am not aware of that. I'm not really sure what their numbers are on that. That's something that the Department of Health would be taking care of, and it's not anything that they've really shared with us.
Okay. You are listening to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg, and we are talking with Frankfurt Mayor Judy Sheets. So last month, we talked about the plans for the Public Safety Training Complex plan. Complex thing to say on the show last month. And so this also came up at Frankfurt City Council meeting on February 8th. And in the meeting, you kind of asked, how is fundraising going? So I just wanted to circle back to that and talk about, first of all, how money is being raised for this specifically? Where is that funding coming from right now?
Matt Stidham, who's the one that's taking charge kind of this project, he has asked the county as well as the city to help with this project. And I know that our city council is highly in favor of this. It's just a matter of coming up with the funding and how that's going to be distributed throughout the project, you know, if they're going to do in phases or how that's going to happen. We also have, it's called Good to Go in Frankfurt. It's a convenience store, gas station. They're raising funds for that. Co-Alliance is raising funds for that. Let me think of who else, the EMA, I heard that they've contributed. And also our Center Township trustee is interested in helping with that. So we're getting several people involved.
So I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong here, that it sounded like the financial ask for Frankfurt, for the city, kind of the amount they were hoping for was around $40,000. Is that what he was
That's
saying?
correct. Yes,
Okay.
that's correct.
So you kind of said, okay, we're expecting to know where the city is at with, 2020 finances, kind of things where they ended up in a month or so. Do you think the city is going to be able to give money to this? I mean,
I do believe so. I believe we will be able to do that. We have our public safety lit distributions, and I believe we're going to be able to some way help out of there. The council is going to have that up for discussion here in the next couple of weeks, but I'm sure that we're going to support them. It's
Okay.
something that's very important for the community.
So, how often is your, and I know you can speak to a lot of this, as you're budgeting in general, how often do you have to move money from one place to the other in the city budget to make everything align, get money where it's needed?
Well, if we do have to do that, which I'm not a person that really likes to do that, I like to live by our budget. You know, that's the reason why we go through the whole budget process. But if we do, we have to go back to the council, and the council has to be made aware of that. And so if we want to do a transfer or anything like that or additional appropriations, that always goes through the council. But I'm hoping we don't have to do that a lot this year.
Well, and aside from just sitting and doing the math and looking at the numbers, I guess, are there parts of, a city budget that are easier in general to pull from? What pops up first as a place to head?
Yes, the way the process works is if you stay within each one of those funds, like our, excuse me, city general or our street department or sanitation, that type thing, we can pull from within those budgets, you know, transfer it around in there. And that's probably the easiest way to do it. We can transfer between funds, some of them, not all of them. It's all, a lot of that's by state statute.
So, speaking of Frankfurt's 2020 finances, what do you think you're going to see? Where do you think you're going to land? I know you've said you might not see maybe that bigger hit or bigger impact per se until 2021, but if you're thinking that in a month or two you're going to have that to take a look at, what do you think you're going to see?
I think for this year, for 2021, that we're still going to be in pretty good shape. Still waiting to see what's going to happen in 2022. But from what I can see on the projections and from our financial consultants, it looks like 2021 is still going to be pretty good. Now, we're going to have to be cautious. We're still going to have to watch our spending, you know, and to make sure how the revenues are going to come in. But I think we're going to have a good year.
So I know we talked about, for example, if we're looking at kind of some of these projects that have kind of been put on hold or no, we're going to go ahead with this. For example, you're going ahead with the new police department. The aquatic center is something that might have to be briefly paused. Though I believe you also said that maybe you might be taking another look at that around this time. Would that also kind of be tied to the assessment of this 2020 budget at that specific project?
Mm-hmm. And as we see the books, you know, as they're closed out, we still haven't had that completed for 2020. But when that does happen, and then as we can look at our projections for 2021, I want to take a look at that project, the Aquatic Center particularly. I know it's something that's really needed, something the community wants, and I want to see that if it's going to be possible at all for us to go ahead and move forward with that.
So I know that around this time last year, during this particular process of looking at the last year's budget, at that point, would you have been mayor yet? Is that how you would have been intersecting with that or not yet?
Okay, when we were looking at, tell me that again.
Last year, this kind of process last year, was this pre-mayor sheets or post-mayor sheets?
Well, I finished up 19. I had just completed rolling over everything for 19 into 20 when I came into office in March.
So
I was aware of it.
Okay, so how is your role then different this year? You know, how does your task list for the budget look different in this different position?
Well, one thing is I don't have to get the annual report ready. That's now the new clerk treasurer. So, but there's still, you know, I still look at the finances every day. I still am concerned about it. I still keep an eye on them. I watch, you know, our funding, our appropriations, all that type thing. I still keep in close contact every day on the finances. It's still very important to me.
Okay. I also wanted to ask about something that came up at that same city council meeting. And I wanted to ask because the discussion around it moved pretty quickly. It was an ordinance. I'm going to read it in full here. An ordinance providing a procedure for applications and agreements for fire service to unincorporated areas. I want to say someone mentioned NHK in the process of that. Can you just expand a little bit on what that ordinance is, what the intent of that ordinance is?
Yes, that was so that we could provide fire service to the new NHK facility out by the interchange, out by 65. And they right now are not in the annexed area and will not be for several years now. But they wanted our fire protection as well as we wanted to provide them fire protection. So we came up with an agreement. We worked together. And I think it's going to be very beneficial for both of us.
Okay. Frankfort Police Chief Scott Shoemaker wanted to ask you about this. He released a statement about 2 weeks ago. He said a locally viral Snapchat story has led to fears the Frankfort Police Department is going door to door to inquire about immigration status. And he said, this is troubling to me. And he gave some details about the specific case in question. And then he said the Frankfort Police Department will not and has not considered immigration status when investigating a crime. For decades, members of our Hispanic community have called the police to report crimes as well as play a vital role as witnesses to crimes. We do not want to lose that trust over an extremely false narrative included in the Snapchat story. First of all, I guess, what can you tell us about that situation? Do you know what happened there?
I don't know a lot about it. I know that somebody had put something on Facebook about our local police department was going door to door checking on immigration status. And that's something that our department just does not do. That is not, you know, something that the Frankfort Police Department does. They were there, I guess, checking on a complaint, but it had nothing to do with the immigration side of it. We have such a good working relationship with the Hispanic community, and we just did not want that to break down. I mean, we want them to trust our police officers, you know, to trust the people in Frankfort. And I know it was very concerning to him.
So in your, I mean, many years, decades working at the police department, you know, how have you seen the relationship with that community change over time? How have you watched that evolve?
I think it's worked out really well. I think we have a great communications with the Hispanic population, and that's what we want. We want to work towards that. And like I said, to see that maybe be damaged or, you know, something happen, we just did not want that to be.
So how do you, as mayor, so that was the police chief kind of speaking to their specific, mm-hmm. you know, role with that community. How do you help ensure that the community feels supported by the city? And I know that's a conversation I had with former Mayor Chris McBarnes as well.
Right. I think we work very closely with the Hispanic community. We keep in touch with the Learning Network that has a lot to do with the Hispanic community. And I just want them to know that they are a great part of us. We're going to have a festival, we hope, this year. That's our plan. We had to cancel it for last year. Mm-hmm. But we do different programs to reach out to them to let them know how important they are to us.
The Frankfort Police Department also released a report on its year in 2020. And in the interview I read with the chief, I wanted to clarify, has this report been released to the public in quite this way before?
What did he say, like 40 years, I think is what he said, has been since anybody has ever put a report together like this for the community. And we now have it. We shared, they shared it on their Facebook page. We have a link to it. It's something that's not been done. But he felt like it's something he wanted to do, and he had the deputy chief along with one of the administrative assistants work on it. And I thought it was a great report. I loved it. And I think that's important for the community.
How do you think it helps people to kind of have those numbers laid out and in that way? And then also to kind of, there was kind of a biographical part of it too, where people were kind of being introduced to some of the officers and their backgrounds.
And I think that's important. I think the community needs to know who our officers are, a little bit about them, a little bit about the police department, some of the history. I think it's very informative, and I hope that people are reading it. I really do, because I think you can find it very interesting just to find out more about our police officers and our department.
So the report said the number of incidents, I use that word, in Frankfort in 2020 was at a 27-year low. And then mentioned that COVID played a role in that. But do you think that's the whole story? Do you think anything else contributed to that lower number last year?
I think that, you know, COVID probably did play some part in that. But I also think that the police department has been very proactive, and they've gotten out there. And I think a lot of it is how they react with the public. And I think the public feels very confident with them. And I know that they're out there enforcing the law, that they're trying to keep things where they should be for the city. And I just think it's an overall change, not necessarily all COVID.
Okay. How often are you, you know, I know Chief Shoemaker also, you know, took over for someone else, for previous mm-hmm. Chief Troy Bacon. You took over after Chris McBarnes, you know. Mm-hmm. How did you two have to work together this past year, which was kind of an unprecedented year anyway, in lots and lots of ways, and figure out kind of those new roles and how you might handle things differently or the same as your predecessors?
And, you know, Chief Shoemaker and I have had many conversations on the police department and, you know, different projects that we had going on. Of course, we've spent a lot of time working on the new police department. That's been a pretty top priority for us to make sure that that's all going to happen. But he knows my expectations, and he, you know, I'm always open for suggestions, what would work for the department. And he comes very well prepared when he comes to talk to me.
Do you think can you think of anything, I guess, that has been, you know, what would be the most significant change, I think, in the way that you operate, you know, with the police department over the past year?
I don't know that it's a change necessarily, but it's the way that I suppose you could say manage. I lean on my department heads to do the job that they know is expected of them. I have trust in them. I believe in them. That's the only way I would have them in that place. You know, I'm not a micromanager by any means. So I trust them to do their job and to come to me if there's a situation, or know that I can go to them if there's something that I need from them.
So you're kind of saying, Chief, you're going to do your job.
Yep, and that's right.
So how often do you have to meet with him? You know, how often are you staying in touch with him and other department heads, would you say, generally?
I'm going to say probably like the police, particularly street department this week, fire department, but I'm going to say probably police almost every day and the others probably 3 or 4 times a week at least, or maybe a day sometimes. But yes, I'm really in close contact with my department heads on a regular basis.
So this is occurring to me because I was watching the the city council meeting over YouTube. Are you yet allowing people to come in and observe those meetings in person?
Yes, they can. They can come into the meeting. We have it set up for social distancing. We also have available mask and the hand sanitizer. But yes, we are opening it to the public.
And then do you think you're going to keep up this practice of, I don't believe that the meetings were on YouTube pre-COVID. Are you going to keep up that practice?
You're correct on that. They had not been pre-COVID, but I think it's something that we want to continue after we're, back to more normal circumstances. I think people have really enjoyed being able to see what's going on in the city and be able to watch it on YouTube at their convenience. So I'm hoping to keep that in effect.
Okay. I saw that there was a groundbreaking this week for the 180 Resource Center, which helps people with addiction issues. I know this has been kind of in the works for a few years now. I feel sure that we, again, talked to former Mayor Chris McBarnes about it as yes. It was kind of being processed, coming through the ranks. How did this finally get off the ground?
Well, I believe I heard, I think it was Rich Rick, when he was speaking, said that this is something that they had started in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that has taken a lot of time and a lot of planning. And I think they get a lot of community involvement in it. And I think that's really helped them as far as I know the city has contributed towards that as well as the county. And one of our local banks is doing like a 50-50 if somebody donates. So they've had so many people working on this, and I think most of all that's important, it's faith-based. They've had a lot of churches involved, different groups. A couple of them that are on the board are pastors. And like I said, it's a faith-based facility, and I'm so excited for it. I said I'm not only excited to see the progress on the building, but what's going to happen inside that building.
So
see lives changed.
Can you talk a little bit about what kind of services the center is going to provide?
Yes, they're going to provide services, like you said, for alcohol and drug addiction. And it will be an inpatient facility. But they're going to also help them how to get back into the public and how to have a bright future and how to heal some relationships maybe that have broken down. So I think there's going to be a lot that's going to happen out there.
And do you know what the timeline to get that building kind of completed and running is going to be?
I believe they said they were hoping for fall. So maybe the snow might slow them down a little bit. I don't know. But they were hoping to have the facility by this next fall.
Okay. And that's our time for today. Mayor Sheets, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
You can find this program at our website, WBAA.org, along with an archive of our shows with the mayors of Lafayette, West Lafayette, Crawfordsville, and Frankfort. Send us your questions for all four mayors to ask@WBAA.org. Thanks for listening and have a great rest of the day.